Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
As I was walking down the street one day, a man came up to me and asked me,
we're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me today. Ken Davis is back, ladies and gentlemen. Kenneth C. Davis is an old friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He's been talking to us about the history of things for a long time, and he's the guy who wrote the book Don't Know Much About History, also Don't Know Much About Mythology, also America's Hidden History, which is his brand new book, which we've talked about recently. And he's back today to talk to us about some of the things that are true and some of the things that might not be true about Thanksgiving. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
It is always a great pleasure. Good morning, and happy holiday to you.
Happy holiday. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Ken, there actually is a Thanksgiving in Canada, isn't there?
There is a Thanksgiving in Canada. It's in October, and it has nothing to do, of course, with the American Thanksgiving, but it points up the fact that almost every country around the world, almost every ancient civilization, certainly agricultural ones, all had a kind of a harvest festival, mm-hmm. which is what Thanksgiving essentially is.
Right.
The pilgrims in 1621 did not call what they were doing that day Thanksgiving. In fact, Thanksgiving to them would have meant a day of prayer and fasting. Now, I'm not sure. Some of us might be praying on Thursday, but I'm not sure how much fasting will be going on.
Well, I've already had one Thanksgiving celebration with part of my family, and we did some praying, but we didn't do much fasting.
No, not at all. Yeah, and in fact, when George Washington, in the midst of the American Revolution, called for a day of Thanksgiving after the victory at Saratoga, but again, it was when he said the day of Thanksgiving, he had in mind also a day of prayer and fasting. And so it's a different notion. What we call Thanksgiving came about in the mid-19th century. It was actually in 1863 that Abraham Lincoln declared the first national Thanksgiving holiday. It was the result of a long campaign by a very interesting woman named Sarah Josepha Hale, now a forgotten name to most of us.
Mm-hmm.
She was the editor of a magazine that was called Lady Godey's Book, which in its day was a kind of Good Housekeeping, that sort of thing. So I guess you could call it a 19th century Martha Stewart. But she had been on this a long campaign to create this national Thanksgiving holiday, and after 30 years or more, Abraham Lincoln was the one who finally relents in 1863. He had a lot to be thankful for in 1863 because things were starting to turn around with the war effort from his perspective, so things were looking a little bit brighter. But it was this notion of celebrating the first the first pilgrims, which we now know there were pilgrims who were here long before the Mayflower Pilgrims,
mm-hmm.
And that's a different story, too.
In Virginia, right?
Well, no, the first pilgrims that I'm talking about were actually in Florida, and they were there in 1565, a full 50 years before the Mayflower Pilgrims.
And they were from?
They were French. They were what we call Huguenots,
mm-hmm.
French Calvinists. They came to Florida for exactly the same reasons that the pilgrims later sailed, to escape the persecution in France, where there was a very bloody civil war, Catholics versus Protestants. And they settled there, and they were there for about a year. The Spanish learned that they were there. The Spanish claimed Florida for themselves, of course, and they sent over an admiral who wiped the French colony out entirely, a tremendous massacre, and he hung some of the survivors and said, I do this not as to Frenchmen, but as to heretics. Because to them,
so they came over to Florida and killed all those people.
That's what they did, and that's why we have St. Augustine. That's why St. Augustine was founded. It was really founded as a base from which to attack these French pilgrims. But that's a kind of dark other Thanksgiving story.
And which is why we don't know much about those people.
Which is why, yeah, there's actually just below St. Augustine, there's a
Squanto had a better PR element than the massacre of St. Augustine.
And so did the pilgrims. They had that smart guy who said, let's put put this, you know, car of 1620 into this rock and
right.
something about the Pilgrims Landing.
Yeah, right.
There's no reference at all to
and,
Plymouth Rock.
And those cool clothes too. Now you gotta admit those buckles and those hats. Those were pretty cool clothes too.
Yeah, they were pretty cool, but that didn't happen in 1620 either. That's a very idealized version of what the later Puritans looked like. And again, it comes out of 19th century Victorian America,
right.
artists' renditions of what the Pilgrims were. Very simple farming people for the most part. They would have worn, you know, very simple clothes clothes of color, not just black.
Right.
The later Puritans would have gone to Sunday service in those somber black clothes, because Sunday service was an all-day affair, and it was a pretty somber affair for the Puritans of Massachusetts.
The group who landed on Plymouth Rock on that December day in 1620 were made up of more than one group of people. They had the Leyden Separatists who were pretty pious and sanctimonious people, and then you had the others, as the Leyden Separatists call them. How did they get along with each other? Did they finally, in survival, wind up having to kind of work together?
Well, absolutely, but just to explain your point, you're absolutely right. Only about half of the passengers on the Mayflower, 102 of them, were actually what we would call pilgrims, and that's certainly not what they called themselves. They,
right.
they called themselves saints, and later on they called themselves first comers. And the others who were not of their group, which was a fairly small and radical sect in England at that time, they would have been called strangers. And they didn't get along at first, which is why they decided to sit down and make up a contract, which is called the Mayflower
the
Compact.
The Mayflower Compact, which is another reason why that group got such good PR in history. Stand by, quick break. You know, Kent, I've tried to call myself St. Jim around here, but it's just not catching on in my office. Tintail, stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame. We'll be right back with Kenneth Davis. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Ken Davis is our guest. Kenneth C. Davis is the name of the book. Don't know much about history. His new book is called America's Hidden History, Untold Tales of the First Pilgrims, Fighting Women, Forgotten Founders Who Shaped the Nation. And you can find that, Ken, that's available wherever books are sold now, right?
That's correct, online and in your local bookseller.
And I'll tell you what, folks, and I said this the last time you were on, Ken. Folks, this is a book that you don't even have to wrap. It's so well, so beautifully bound with the dust jacket and everything. You don't even have to wrap it. Just give it to somebody, and they'll feel like they've got a wonderful present. Ken, check that out.
Like they say, put a ribbon on it, you know?
Exactly. Just put a ribbon on it. And buy two. You want to keep one for yourself. Ken, tell the audience about your own website, too, please.
I have a website, which is don'tknowmuch.com, all one word, no apostrophe and don't, and I don't sell anything there. It's a good place to go, especially for the kids. Look at some of my children's books as well. I write for children and adults, and can learn more about my books. There's some quizzes, some fun stuff there, and also links to where to buy the books as well.
Check that out. And you're going to be on the Today Show tomorrow.
I will be on the Today Show tomorrow. It's in
what time?
They call the fourth hour, somewhere in the 10 o'clock Eastern time hour. And
after 10 o'clock Eastern?
That's right. Probably 10:30 or so.
Yeah,
Eastern. They have a segment called Did You Know? And, you know, so we'll do a quiz.
Who else would they have at that? I mean, how could they conduct that without you, Ken?
I don't know. I've never seen it on the other days, so I don't know if they could possibly.
You'll have to. I can't imagine who. None can compare. So, folks, check that out on the Today Show tomorrow. Okay, Ken. What else do we need to know about the Pilgrims and about Thanksgiving?
I think, you know, there's so many fascinating aspects to the story, and we have the, you know, the kind of elementary school Thanksgiving pageant vision of it. I think one of the most fascinating aspects of this is, you know, the notion that these pilgrims arrive, they pull up into Plymouth Harbor, and they leave the women on the boat, and they build a small communal house for a while, and then one day a fellow walks into camp, a rather scrawny, hungry-looking fellow, and he speaks to them in English. Where does this guy come from who speaks English? His name is Samoset, and he had actually learned English from fishermen. And this is one of the misconceptions we have, that the Puritans, the Pilgrims arrived and no Europeans had been there before. That's nonsense. There had been European fishermen up and down the New England coasts for a very, very long time, most of them fishing for cod, which they would bring ashore and dry. Dried, salted codfish was one of the reasons that Europeans came to America in the first place.
And they'd also been surveying the area, too, hadn't they,
They had been surveying, absolutely, and that had been going on for a long time. John Cabot had sailed for the English, of course, much earlier. He reaches Newfoundland. A man named Matthew Gosnold had discovered Cape Cod, and that's appropriately why he called it Cape Cod. The ocean was teeming with fish at that time. And so there had been an exchange between Native Americans, Europeans, but no one had actually settled. There had been some trading, and the fishing business had gone on. And it was a mixed blessing, of course, for the Indians, this encounter. They began to learn European ways, but they also started to catch some of those diseases that wiped out massive numbers of Native Americans.
Almost an entire nation.
Oh, and whole villages were swept away. And that's why when the Pilgrims land in Plymouth, there is a deserted Indian village there. They land on what had been an Indian settlement. Mm-hmm. It was deserted because the whole village had been wiped out, probably by smallpox. Mm-hmm. To which the Native Americans had no immunities. Of course, it had been around in Europe for much longer, and people had developed immunity to smallpox, but it was the major killer in North America for centuries, and continued to be. More people died during the American Revolution of smallpox than they did of fighting in the war.
The battle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you
have a very different picture of this relationship between the Native Americans.
As it turns out, the village they landed on was Squanto's village.
That's right, and that's the second man who comes on the picture. Tisquantum, or Squanto, as he's known. And he had actually, this is the other side of the European conduct, he had actually been taken aboard a ship as a slave.
He'd crossed the Atlantic twice.
Finally made his way back to North America. What an extraordinary story. And it was his village, actually, that the Pilgrims arrived in that had been wiped out.
And he's the one who helped them survive, didn't he?
He did, and he saw them as natural allies because he was a man without a country at that time.
I got to wrap it up, Ken. Thanks for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.